Thank you, Father. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's in this room and each and every person that's watching us online. And Father God, we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you tonight as we come to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, we'll take forth the word that we hear that brings forth life on the inside of us and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you most of all for your anointing that's here tonight. That anointing that saturates us and changes us and in an instant makes everything okay. We thank you that anointing is here and we stir it up now. And Father God, we thank you for Mom and Dad and the crusade team there in New York. We thank you for many lives being touched, many people being healed, many people being set free. And we give you the praise, honor, and the glory. And we thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Hope everyone's doing good. I just saw the forecast. It's going to get a little cooler. Now, a little cooler is not cool, okay? I don't mean it's going to be 50 degrees or anything like that, but I heard some rumors of some 80s. And so I guess I was watching one of the news stations, I think it was Channel 2, and I guess they have a new reporter. This is his first time on the air. And whenever they said, it's going to be cool this weekend, it's going to be 83 for a high, I think, on one day. And the guy said, 83 is cool? Anyway, but yeah, it beats 103 or 100 or whatever it's been, you know. But praise God, it might be hot on the outside, but it's cool in here. Amen. So praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation today. And we're going to start with verse number 22. But before we get to verse 22, I'm going to paraphrase verse 1 through 21 to kind of put things in context. Because sometimes, in order to understand a story, we have to put things in context. All right, so the context of this in Matthew 14, the very first part of this, we hear about the death of John the Baptist, and Jesus had heard that John the Baptist had died. And so he went out to kind of be by himself and just to sometimes when things aren't going, you want to be by yourself and you just want to pray and you want to, you know, seek God and things like that. So that's what Jesus did. He went to go, you know, be by himself. But, you know, when he's Jesus, everyone follows you. So everybody followed him out into a remote place. And then Jesus felt sorry for all of them. So he began to teach them. And then it got late and they didn't have any food. So, you know, Jesus found out that there were only one little boy, that his mom had gave him a couple of fish and some loaves. And so he fed 5,000 people. Remember that story? And so that's where we are. Now we get to verse number 22 of Matthew 14. So remember, Jesus' thing was he was trying to be by himself. He was trying to be alone. So after he fed the 5,000 folks, that's 5,000 men, there are also women and children there. So verse 22 says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. And night fell while he was there alone. So Jesus wanted to finally get his alone time. So he put his disciples in a boat, said, you guys go to the other side of the lake. I'm going to go up here and pray. All right, so that's what's going on. And then night fell, so Jesus was there. It says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, which doesn't make any sense to me. When, if I saw Jesus, I wouldn't be terrified, but you know, I guess the fact that he was walking on the water was terrifying. And maybe they didn't know what was walking on the water, but anything walking on the water would be kind of cool, no matter what. All right? I mean, you know, I don't think I'd be terrified. I might be amazed, you know, but then I saw it was Jesus, and I'd actually be kind of, you know, overjoyed, especially whenever, remember, they were there in the middle of a bunch of waves and wind, and things weren't looking really good. All right? So, anyway, he says, verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." So Jesus' answer was, "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why do you doubt me?" Verse 32 says, when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. The disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. So here it was, you know, I want you to understand that there were already winds and waves when Jesus came out there. All right, here New Living says they were in trouble. The disciples, you know, they weren't having a good day. Now, I don't know if you've ever been, you know, in the ocean or in a lake or whatever, when a bunch of wind and waves, especially in Oklahoma, we have a lot of wind here, you know, and you're on the lake, and it can make your boat trip not very fun. All right, also might get a little wet, you know. And you have to understand, remember that the time that Jesus lived, boats weren't as good as they are today. All right, you know, they didn't have, you know, nice fiberglass, you know, boats, whatever. They couldn't just go up to Bass Pro over here and, you know, buy a brand new boat. You know, they had to make it, or they had to have somebody make it or craft it or whatever. So, you know, so some people might say, well, boats were a lot better back then, you know, because they looked like were cooler or whatever, but I don't know. You know, they didn't have a big cabin, and I will tell you, they didn't have air conditioning, you know, or whatever. Of course, a lot of boats don't have air conditioning anyway, unless they have a cabin where, and so here was a bunch of wind, bunch of waves, and Jesus came walking on the water. And like I said, you know, I don't know why they were afraid. I'd be pretty happy because, you know, before that, it was kind of getting scary. But they said, well, I guess it's a ghost. And Jesus says, you know, I'm not a ghost. You know, don't be afraid. You know, which incidentally, every time that we read in the Bible where an angel appeared to somebody, the first words out of their mouth was always, do not be afraid. Because I guess people get afraid when they see an angel. So I guess the moral story is if an angel appears to you or Jesus appears to you out of nowhere, you kind of get afraid. I don't know what it is, but just don't worry about it. It'll all be okay. All right. So here was Jesus walking on the water. And so Peter looked at Jesus, you know, and he said, well, you know, Jesus, if it's really you. Well, you know, I think by that point that they really, after Jesus spoke to him, I mean, not only could they see him, they heard his voice. And people, you know, I mean, the disciples knew his voice. They knew it was really him. I mean, so to me, it's kind of a dumb question. Well, Jesus, if it's really you, let me come walking on the water. And Jesus said, well, come on down, you know, come on out here. No problem. So, you know, Peter stepped out of the boat. Now, I want you to notice is that when the winds and waves were there before he stepped out of the boat. Nothing changed. You know, everything was the same, but he stepped out of the boat because Jesus said so. And, you know, a lot of times we kind of make fun of Peter because, you know, well, he wasn't looking at Jesus and he began to drown right there. But you know what? There were 11 other disciples that never got out of the boat. He was willing to take the step of faith. We said, well, yeah, but they didn't ask. What is this, Simon Says? Well, you know, you got to ask. Well, Jesus, I mean, why couldn't it? I mean, I'm surprised that you know, John didn't say, well, I'm coming out too. But I think, you know, what happens? The rest of them were afraid. They were still afraid because, you know, the winds and waves, you know. So the biggest thing we have to realize is that Peter took a big step of faith. Do you realize that according to history, we only have two known people that ever walked on the water? And everyone, you know, says, well, Jesus walks on the water, but so did Peter. Yeah, but Peter fell. We've all fallen. We've all made mistakes. The point is, Peter walked on the water. That's pretty cool. I mean, you know, think about Peter's grandkids. You know, hey, my dad walked on the water. You think your dad's cool or your granddad's cool. Yeah, but he almost drowned. Yeah, but he walked. You know, and sometimes we have to realize in order to, you know, to see a great thing, we have to take a step of faith. Sometimes we got to get out of the boat. I mean, the first thing he was willing to get out of the boat. Now, one of the big things he's willing because Jesus said, well, yeah, come on out here. But you know what? We have many things where Jesus has told us many things about speaking to our mountain, you know, about casting our cares and all these kind of things. But a lot of times we don't do it. Why? Because we're kind of like the guy sitting in the boat. Well, you know, what if it doesn't work? Now, what I want you to realize is when Peter took that first step, there were winds, there were waves. It wasn't, you know, just because he stepped out of the boat, the waves didn't stop. But he didn't notice the winds and waves at first because he was concentrating on one thing and one thing only, looking to Jesus. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because sometimes when we take a step of faith, you know, we think, well, as soon as we step out, the waves are going to stop. Whatever's coming against us is going to stop because I took a step of faith. But just because you take a step of faith doesn't mean anything stops, because the devil is still there to steal, kill, and destroy. We know John 10:10 because I speak on him all the time. He's just because you're walking on the water doesn't mean the devil's not here to destroy you. But the thing is, what is your focus? What are you focusing on? And actually, you know, by looking at this, Peter wasn't even focusing on the water. He wasn't even focused on the fact he was walking on the water. He was just looking at Jesus and taking steps. Now, I don't know how many steps he took, because it sounds like he took quite a few steps, because, you know, obviously these folks could see Jesus. You know, I don't know how far the visibility was that day, but, you know, whenever they saw him, they began to talk to each other. And so, since Jesus was able to reach down and pick him up, he must have been pretty close to Jesus. So, I mean, he probably took quite a few steps. He took one step, then another step, then another step. And as long as he was looking at Jesus, no problem. No problem. He kept stepping on out there on the water. Now, you realize that that's a miracle. You know, people don't step on water and stay up. I mean, you know, maybe you're able to keep your head above water, you know, if you depend on the buoyancy and, you know, the water, but you can't walk on top of it. I mean, who could think that could ever happen? But it didn't matter whether it could happen or not, because Jesus said, hey, come on out here. So he did. He took a step of faith. And sometimes, you know, Jesus is saying, hey, just take that step. Just get out of that boat. Until you get out of the boat, you're not going to see the miracle. Until you decide to, you know, well, first of all, you know, before he got out of the boat, he had to get up. He had to stand up. Because before that, I'm sure he was sitting in the boat. Then he stood up in the boat, and then he took a step out of the boat. You know, some of us are at the edge of the boat thinking, should I do it? Should I not? Should I do it? Should I not? What, you know, see, this is our own mentality. What if I fail? See, when Peter stepped out, he wasn't thinking about him failing. He was only thinking about Jesus Christ and doing what Jesus said to do. Come on out here. But when our brain begins to speak to us, then, you know, well, it comes down to, you know, remember we talked about having the mind of Christ? When we get out of our mind into his mind, we're not thinking about the water. We're not thinking about the waves. We're not thinking about anything. We're just thinking about, you know what? Jesus Christ and meeting my need. Whatever it is. Now, in this situation, there wasn't a need. He was just saying, well, you know what? If it's you, let me come out there. Now, I always wonder what prompted Peter to say that. I have no clue. But the fact that he did is pretty awesome, and the fact that he walked on the water is pretty awesome. Now, it wasn't awesome that he fell in a few moments, but you know what? He walked on the water. All right? You know, I mean, think how crazy that was to witness. I mean, not only, you know, here you are seeing Peter walk, I mean, seeing Jesus walking on the water, now you're seeing Peter. And like I said, wouldn't you think one of the other disciples would have stepped up and said, hey, I want to be next? You know, because I don't know if it's like a ride, you have to wait till Peter gets to Jesus and the next person can walk out. I don't know how the rules are. But wouldn't you think, I mean, these are 12 guys who hang out with Jesus on a daily basis, and wouldn't you think that they would want to experience the same blessing that Peter got to experience? You know, and sometimes it is interesting because I've seen a lot of us, you know, good Christian people, you know, we watch somebody else experience God's blessings and we're like, well, good for them. Praise God. I'm glad they're getting their miracle. I sure wish I could get mine. Yeah, but you won't ever get out of the boat. Well, yeah, but there's winds and waves. Yeah, but there's tough stuff out there. I mean, our boat's barely making it. Think about me on the, they're thinking about me, thinking about them and not thinking about Jesus. You have to have focus when you're taking a step of faith. And Peter was focused as he began to walk. You know, even though it made no sense in the natural how he could do that, he was there walking on the water because all he was really doing was obeying the command of Jesus. And like I said, Jesus commanded us many times. Like I said, speak to the mountain. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. There's a lot of things he speaks to us, but we still don't do it. Why? Well, because it might not happen. Well, because that's right. That's what, if you can believe, you shall receive. If your mind's saying it might not happen, you're not believing. Guess what you're also not doing? You're not receiving. Yeah, but there are winds and waves. Who cares about winds and waves? You know, that's just an outward situation. You know, now, sometimes in the world that we live in, it's not winds and waves, it's called the economy. You know, well, the economy is this. I mean, you know, especially whenever things we're going through a recession. They're like, well, you know, I can't do this because we're going through a recession. I can't do that. Who's going through a recession? God? You realize God never goes through a recession? Jesus never goes through a recession? I never read in the Bible one time where Jesus said, well, we have to wait on that because we're going through a recession here. Well, if there was no recession for Jesus, you know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I mean, you know, because I know people say, well, you know, once this recession's over, things will work out. See, we're not putting our focus on God. We're putting our focus on a man-made situation. In fact, you know, you realize a lot of our economy is based on our stock market, and those guys don't know what they're doing anyway. I mean, it goes up and down, and sometimes in a week's time, it goes up and down. There's a bunch of guys on a seesaw, you know, up and down. You know, and half the time, they're just guessing. Do you realize most of the time, you know, they're making bets and they think, well, this might happen, this might not. And sometimes I'm convinced there's some guy up there, you know what? Let's just freak everybody out and sell today. Just for the fun of it. See what everybody else does. And then we'll buy it back tomorrow for less money. I don't know. I know my focus is always on Jesus. Just like Peter should have been the whole time. And it was for a while. And I'm here to tell you that a lot of times when we step out in faith for a while, everything will seem like, man, this is easy. Here I am walking on the water. Here I am. No problem. No problem. No problem. And then we begin to look around. You know, we look to the left, look to the right. We start seeing the wall of clouds. We start feeling the wind in our face. And so at that point in time, obviously that Peter must have forgot about Jesus. Because remember, Jesus commanded him, says, you know what, Peter? If you want to come out here, come on out here, come to me. And everything was fine. And remember, when he stepped out, the waves and the wind didn't stop. So it wasn't like the waves and wind stopped for a second while he walked on the water. Then they started again. They were there the whole time. It's just, see, he wasn't thinking about the winds and the waves. Also, I believe, you know, he was taking one step at a time. When we step out on faith, we just do it one step at a time. You know, there was no, he didn't have to do a speed record. Okay, Peter, I'm going to clock you. How fast can you get out here to me? He just said, come on out here. Not how, and I don't know how many steps it was. We don't know. I mean, you know, but what we do know that Jesus didn't line up 50 yards from the boat and said, let's do the 50-yard dash here. Okay, Peter, let's go. I mean, you know, I don't know how many feet it was or how many yards, but I do know that other places besides America, they don't use feet and yards, so I don't know how many meters and dozen. I don't even know what they even used back then, you know, for measuring distance. You know, I don't know. Maybe horse lengths. I mean, you know, donkey lengths, furlongs. You know, I don't know. The point is, winds and waves were there when Peter was walking on the water. But at some point and some time, Peter began to put more focus on things around him than Jesus. And you know what happened? Things began to fail. Now, we need to learn that, you know what? Just because maybe you had an extra gust of wind, because people have this mentality, well, once I step out in faith, the winds and waves are going to stop. You know, like the devil's going to stop because you're stepping out. No, the difference is you're focusing on the winds and waves. You're focusing on the economy. You're focusing in on your job. You're focused, you know, in on your financial situation. You're focused, you know, in on what the doctor says. Your focus is on what Jesus says. And when you're focusing on what Jesus says, everything works. But, you know, sometimes, let's just put this in a modern day, thing that we all deal with. Let's say, you know what, you're taking a step of faith let's say you were having a battle with cancer. Let's just use cancer for an example. And all of a sudden, you know, cancer seems to be in remission, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor gives you a bad report. That's kind of like winds and waves. And a lot of people I know, they get that bad report, and they freak out. Well, I guess it's over. Yeah, but something happened to put the cancer in remission. Yeah, but you know, it's back with the vengeance, part two. You know, because, I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen people that they've got cancer, and then the doctors told them that they didn't have cancer anymore, and it came back a year or two later, and they died real soon after that. You know what? What's the difference? Well, probably they quit focusing. Well, that was a tough battle. You know what? Only believe. I mean, I don't know how many times, I mean, like I said, you've been in the hospital, or maybe it's not cancer. Maybe you're just dealing with situations and it seems everything is going great. And then all of a sudden you're taking two steps back. Something happened. Something stupid happened. You know what? It doesn't matter. You know what? God didn't fall off the throne because something stupid happened. It doesn't mean you're not healed. What it means is you know what? You got to keep believing. We keep believing. You know, it's not over yet. Do you realize your life is not over until you walk to the pearly gates? You know, it's not over. Yeah, but the score is not in my favor. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Yeah, but nobody's came back from being this far down. Well, you know what? A few years ago, we watched Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, and nobody ever came back from that thing. But you know what? There was the first time for everything. And he wasn't even focused on Jesus. He's just playing football. You know, that's the thing I always think about. Well, if they can do it, then man, with Jesus, how much easier is it? If people can do something, you know, with their own strength and stuff, man, when you have Jesus, how much easier? You know, understand, Jesus was still there when Peter began to focus on the winds and waves and began to fall. So some of people think, well, if Jesus is there, I'm not going to fall. Really? Peter did. The problem is not whether he's there or not, it's whether you're focused on him or not. He's always there. The Bible clearly says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is always there with us all the time. The thing is, are you focused on him or not? And if you are you stepping toward him or away? Or are you even getting out of the boat? Or maybe you're just sitting there saying, you know, well, I wish it would happen. Man, I sure hope this happens. I'm hoping and praying. There's many people that are hoping and praying. But at some point in time, you got to step out of the boat. You say, you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah, but the winds and waves are still there. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah, but the economy's not good. It's going to happen. Why is it going to happen? Because the Bible says so. We have word. The word says so. Jesus said so. Yeah, it's going to happen. But I'm here to tell you, even when Jesus is right there in front of you, you can still fail if you begin to look at the wind and wave. Because see, what happened is when he began to look to the winds and waves, there's a thing came in called fear. And fear is the opposite of your faith. And if you get into fear, you'll begin to sink. And I found out once you get that fear in, all of a sudden the devil will try to attack. And he'll begin to bring fear monsters all over you. Because once he knows that he's got you for a second, you know, got your mind off of Jesus, he says, I'm taking my opportunity before he gets his mind back on Jesus. And man, it seems that once you hit that fear button, it seems like, I mean, everything goes wrong. I mean, you're like Murphy's Law times 10. Everything that can go wrong does. 10 times worse than before. You know what? But it doesn't matter. I don't care that you reach that point. But you know what? When Peter reached that point and began to fall, he began to cry out. And maybe he wasn't, you know, maybe he was at a point where he started sinking. He wasn't even able to see Jesus. But you know what? He had his voice. And he began to cry, Jesus, help me. And you know, whenever you cry out, he will. So maybe you're getting to the point where man, fear is overtaking you. Situations are overtaking you. And you begin to fall, begin to cry out and say, Jesus, help me. And he'll reach down and he'll pick you up. But you know what? Then you got to still focus on him. Because just because he picks you up and wipes you off and cleans you off and puts you back on top of the water, doesn't mean you're going to stay there. You got to keep focusing. And keep focusing every day. Every day. Every day, you know, and focus on this. For me, it's interesting because, you know, as you know, I've dealt with some kidney things. And every time that, you know, the doctors have told me some things that I can look for. If this is happening, that it's probably not a good deal. You know, and usually I can see that every time I go to the restroom. All right, so I've gone to the restroom before and it didn't look really that good. And I just look at it and say, thank you, Father, I'm healed. And instead of getting mad about it and like, well, I thought I was healed and look at this. I just look at it and you know what? And then you go in the restroom the next time and it looks worse. And I'm like, thank you, Father, I'm healed. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what the winds look like. It doesn't matter what the way. It doesn't matter what about the economy. It doesn't matter about your financial situation. What matters is that Jesus is still the same, and you can focus in on him and not on your bad situations and your bad reports and all this. Who cares? Those are just words. Yeah, but I don't feel good. I'm not moved by what I feel. Well, it doesn't look good. It's not about how it looks. Yeah, but nobody else has ever came back in your situation. I don't care what no one else has ever done. You know, and I guess it's kind of good, you know, because I do know my dad's favorite scripture, Luke 18:27. The things that are possible to man are possible with God. And so, you know, it's pretty, you know, means with God, all things are possible. There's nothing, so if nobody's ever came back from my situation, well, there's a first time for everything. Somebody has to break the record. You know, people say, well, no one's ever been healed from that. Nobody's ever been in that bad of financial shape and made it. Who cares? Thank God I'm a nobody. I'm not a nobody. I'm a somebody. Because I know somebody. I'm very well connected. And I'm very well focused. And man, when you step out in faith, you have to just do it one step at a time. Just one step at a time. One step at a time. You know, and maybe things seem really slow. It doesn't look like things are happening really quickly. I talked to someone, you know, the other day about a situation that took about a year. It took about a year for this situation. It might have actually been a little bit over a year. So let's just say 18 months. That's a year and a half, all right? Let's just say a situation takes 18 months to clear up. All right, I'm 50 years old now, okay? 50 years old. Do you realize 18 months isn't that long? The older you get, the 18 months seems a little bit shorter and shorter and shorter. You know, I said, you know, I just reached a couple years ago, celebrated my 30-year, high school reunion. I can barely remember high school. You know, I was in high school for 4 years. And I have about six memories from 4 years. I'm sure I have more than that if I start to think about it. But, you know, it's like, you know, you probably remember the really, really good things and really, really bad things. And, you know, the rest of it, man, you slept since then. You know, and 18 months isn't a long time in the whole grand scheme of things. Yeah, but it feels like a long time when you're going through. I get that. You know what? But let's just say at 25 years old, you have, let's just say it takes 2 years. So now you're 27. Well, you know what? You got another 100 years to live. So there you go. In the grand scheme of things, you know, it might have seemed like a long time while you're going through it, but it was a short time. Just a short time. You know, and who cares? It doesn't. I'm just going to take one step at a time and focus in on Jesus. And I'm going to stay afloat. You know, I'm not going to, I don't care if there's winds and waves. And see, here's what happens. If you get to that point where you don't care, people try to remind you, hey, well, there are winds and waves here. You know, I don't know if you realize that or not. You know, because I know people, when I believe in God for something, hey, do you know what the economy is going? Have you looked at your bank account? Do you know how much money you make and how much money you need to spend and what's coming in and how much money your kids spend? And they're still old and they still spend your money anyway because it doesn't matter because, you know, your dad. That's okay. I lean on my parents sometimes too, so I'm not going to. I mean, just like yesterday, couple of my kids called me and said, you know, hey, you want to go to dinner, Dad? And, you know, so when they want to go to dinner, it's never a cheap place. They want to go to a expensive place. But, you know, I don't know how many times I've went to dinner with my parents at 50 years old just because they're going someplace nice. You know, so I'm like, I remember the other day we were at work. It was late. It was already about 7 o'clock. My parents said, hey, Craig, we're going to the steak place. You want to go? I'm thinking, well, let's see. I was going to go to Taco Bueno. But, man, if you're buying steaks, I'm kind of in, you know, so it's like, But you know what? It doesn't matter what you're going through. What matters is that Jesus Christ is standing right in front of you and telling you, come on down. I'm here with open arms. Just come to me. Don't worry about winds, waves, or whatever. It was interesting, though, if you end the story of 8 o'clock time to go. Once they, him and Peter, you know, once he reached down, grabbed Peter, and they walked back to the boat together, as soon as they got back in the boat, the winds and waves ceased at that point in time. But the whole time Jesus was walking on the water and Peter was on the water, there were winds and waves, and they still were able to walk. But once again, you know, what we don't realize too, once Jesus picked them up, they still walked together. Probably hand in hand on the water. But it doesn't matter if he's holding your hand or he's standing in front of you, you can walk on the water if you're willing to do it. Just take that step, one step at a time. Just believe, only believe. And quit thinking about the yeah buts. There's gonna be some yeah but people. They'll always be around. And they're gonna say, well, yeah, but this, and yeah, but that, and yeah, but, I'm like, what is yeah, but anyway? You know, it's kind of like a Flintstone thing, like yeah, but dabba do, or, you know, I mean, so I just want to tell you, take your yeah, but, and go on. Jesus is in control. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you just for this little small teaching on how we need to focus on Jesus at all points and times. And it doesn't matter about winds, waves. It doesn't matter about the economy. Doesn't matter about your financial situation, that God's got this. You've had this in control, and you sent your son, Jesus Christ, for us to focus on, to be there, to lead us, to guide us, and to help us in every situation. And we thank you, Father, that whenever we're going through a situation, first of all, help us to step out of that boat and take the steps of faith and continue to focus on Jesus one step at a time until we get our needs met. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, that you're meeting their needs and touching their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen.